Tonight and turn to the book of John, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, let's stand and we're going to read verses 14 through 25 tonight. John 7, starting at reading at verse number 14. Now, it's been a couple of Wednesday nights since we've been in the book of John. I was gone one Wednesday night, and then last Wednesday night, the Lord led us in a different direction. We took care of some more stuff. So I just felt like it'd just be good to do some John tonight. Change it up a little bit. You Baptists, it won't mess you up too bad, will it? Well, I thought we were doing John on Wednesday nights. It'll be all right. We can do it on Sunday night. So we're going to look at John chapter 7. Now, if you remember, I just covered the first 13 verses a few weeks ago. But the title of this whole chapter, I just titled this chapter, The Contentious and Confused. The contentious and confused, because this whole chapter is Jesus Christ dealing with a bunch of contentious, confused, misled people. And, you know, it's answer not a fool according to his folly and then answer a fool according to his folly. I mean, you can't win with some people. And he's dealing with a bunch of folks you can't win with. And so that's what this whole thing's about, arguing with people that are contentious and confused. And I just want to say this before we get started tonight. I know we wouldn't have anybody here that's contentious and confused. I know we wouldn't have anybody here that don't know a thimble full of Bible, but you're ready to argue over it. Amen. That's how a lot of Christians are. And some people, they're confused about something. They don't know the truth about something, but because that's what they believe for 35 or 40 years, ain't no preacher, nobody else, not even Jesus Christ himself, going to tell you any different. I know a lot of people like that. You can't get help like that. I'm still learning. I just recently, and I tell you what, if I stay alive, there'll be some things that I change about where I stand and what I believe. Not the major things about salvation in the book and all that, but little things, because we're still learning. I'm still learning. I'm still figuring this stuff out. You ought to be able to do that too. But a fellow that's contentious and a fellow that's confused and a fellow that's deceived, you know, that's what this is. John chapter 7 is just 53 verses. It's a long chapter in the Bible. 53 verses of madness. And so we're just going to deal with some of it tonight. I've entitled this section, verses 14 through 25, Tension in the Temple. Because if you remember the last time we read, it's the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is coming up here pretty soon in the month of September. That's what's going on. The Feast of the Tabernacles is going on. And Jesus doesn't go up to Jerusalem right away. He goes incognito. He goes disguised. Well, not really disguised, but he doesn't let anybody know where he's at and when he's coming and all that. The Bible says that he shows up in the middle of the thing. The thing's done been going on. He goes to Jerusalem. And tonight we'll be reading about where he goes to Jerusalem. And he goes into the temple. And then when he goes into the temple, he begins to teach. So let's read this tonight and then we'll get started. Verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answereth them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man, and this is a key verse to me of the passage tonight, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then says some of them, it's all they, after that good thing, good preaching Jesus just said to them, this is all they can say. Then says some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? That's a funny thing. They just told Jesus in verse number 20 that he had a devil because Jesus said, "You folks are trying to kill me." And he said, "You got a devil. Who's trying to kill you?" And then he ends up after Jesus says to him and says, "Hey, this is a fellow they're trying to kill." Now listen, it's who's on first. And I'm telling you, I deal with Christians on a all the time that's like that, on a regular basis. We don't want to be like that.
Amen.
Contentious and confused and messed up and nobody can tell you nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Russell, pray for this and we'll get started and everybody can sit down.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you for the opportunity to come to your house tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for this time. Thank you for this preaching, Lord.
Yes.
For the ability to have a Bible and read out of it, Lord.
Yes.
Now I pray that you would be with our pastor and our preacher,
please,
Lord.
Please, Lord.
I pray that you would give him everything yes. he needs, dear Lord, some liberty, dear Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Authority from above, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would be with me and these people, and I pray that you open up our ears and our hearts for what we said.
Yes.
Not only hear it, Lord, but apply it to our lives.
Yes, Lord.
That back door.
Yes.
Lord, and I pray that we can pay attention to this thing. I pray that the trials and the things and the circumstances of the world and our lives, dear Lord, won't be a hindrance and won't be our mind constantly wandering. I pray that we can just be stayed upon you, dear Lord. You can just show us something.
Yes.
We can hear it, dear Lord. We can receive it. We can use it.
Yes.
I pray that you'd help us now. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated tonight. All right, we'll just get right on into it. Verse number 14, it's the middle of the feast, and Jesus finally goes up, and in the middle of this thing is going on, he reveals himself. He lets everybody know that he's there, and what he does is he goes into the temple, and he begins to teach while this Feast of Tabernacles is going on in Jerusalem. Verse number 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now, Jesus Christ is up there teaching, and here's the response of this contentious and confused crowd. See, they don't pay attention to what he's saying. They don't care about how good or how bad it is. They don't think about it like, hey, man, this might be a fellow knows a little bit more than I do. This is their only response. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? This fellow right here, he doesn't have a formal education. He's never attended a rabbinical school. How does he know anything? That's the only thing they could say. Well, let me tell you something here tonight. Everybody listen to me. Education does not mean you're going to understand anything in the Bible.
Amen.
There are some very highly educated people that don't have any sense at all about handling God's word.
Right.
You being able to understand the Bible comes through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the natural man cannot receive the things of God.
Amen.
And you know what? All these puffed up people, all they're saying is, huh, who is this guy to come into the temple and teach us? He ain't graduated college.
Amen.
He didn't even finish high school.
Right.
He don't have a master's. He don't have a PhD like me, post hole diggers.
Yeah.
Who is this fellow? No. Just... who cares if he's been to college or not? What did the fella say? Was the fella right or wrong? We don't care because he's not educated like me. Yeah? You like what Jerry Clower says. You're educated beyond your intelligence. And people make the assumption that somebody's got to have something. And listen, you know me. I'm not talking against education. I've got some of it. I went to college. I went back and got my master's. My wife's been to college. I'm not against that. But I'm going to tell you something. A bunch of idiots graduate from college every year.
Amen.
And some of the stupidest people that have no wisdom and no understanding and don't know a thimbleful of Bible and the verses they do know, they don't even know what they mean or how to apply them to their life, are college graduates.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot make the assumption that based on he's never learned. He's never studied. Listen, man, everybody look up here at me. This ain't a geometry book. This ain't a book on physics. This ain't chemistry. This is the precious word of God. It is a spiritual book. I'm holding a book that the Bible says is quick. It's alive.
Yeah.
This ain't like that novel you read. This ain't like Where the Red Fern Grows or Catcher in the Rye or Of Crime and Punishment, that stupid book I read in college. Don't ever read something by a Russian author unless you're pretty smart because it don't... Whew. This thing right here I'm holding in my hand is alive. I can feel it. See?
Amen.
It's alive. It takes something spiritual. It takes something right in your heart. It's not intellectual to get this. You understand that? Don't make the same mistake that the contentious and the confused make. You want to understand that Bible? You understand that Bible because Jesus Christ imparts knowledge to you. He is the Word. He knows all about the Word. And if you need to know anything about the Word, you're going to learn from Him, not in seminary. I done been down that road. I done sat in them classes with Old Testament and New Testament professors correcting that Bible, saying it's an unfortunate rendering here, and that really shouldn't have been there. And in the better manuscripts, that's here. And in this whole chapter right here is not found in the latest, in the earliest manuscripts, and we don't believe that, and we can throw this out. It's a wonder any preacher is worth a flip nowadays.
Amen.
They don't believe, it's a wonder any of them believe anything by the time they get out of school. Jesus Christ is the Word. He gave the Word. And if you want to know anything about the Word, it ain't going to be through your intellect or your learning. It's going to be the Word of God showing you the Word.
Right.
Spiritual knowledge comes from a spirit.
Yes, sir.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the next thing. Verse number 15. After it says, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Verse number 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. You know what he said? He said, I didn't come down here just spouting off what I believe or how I look at it. I came down here and told you what God says. He says his doctrine was not his own, it's God's. Let me ask you something tonight. Is what you believe your own or is it God's? It's what you believe because of the denomination you're in. It's what you believe because of the way you were raised. It's what you believe because of what you've always been taught. It's what you believe because of what your daddy and your mama and other people told you, or just what you've always believed, or just ever how you've always looked at it, or is it what the Bible says?
Amen.
Now, when I die one day, I can promise you that I'm going to face God with all my beliefs. Not 100% of them being right. I know that because I'm a human. Nobody gets it all right. Nobody does. But when I do face God that day, and he says, you know, you believe this, or you taught that, or you figured this, and you was wrong here, and you was wrong here. Okay, that's probably coming. But I tell you what won't happen. What won't happen is that I got up there, and he said, well, you know what? I tried to show you this, but you didn't want to go against your raising. I tried to show you this, but you didn't want to go against the preacher you got called to preach up under. I tried to show you this, but that was against your denomination. I tried to show you this, but you scared association to kick you out. I tried to show you this, but you just always believed that, and you didn't want to change.
Amen.
Well, been none of that going on with me. When I got it settled years ago, I was going into ministry. I decided I didn't care if it crossed my mama, my daddy, my wife, my son, whoever it crossed. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to buy the truth and sell it not. And I don't care if the whole world sides against me. I'm siding with God's word.
Amen.
And I try my best for my doctrine not to have anything to do with my personal preference. It's what he says. What he says is what's right and what goes. You got too much of these emotions. You know, well, I believe what the Bible says, but if I get put in a certain circumstance or certain situation and I just don't feel like it, then I ain't going to do what the Bible says. Okay, you know, listen, man, I didn't write that Bible.
Amen.
I didn't write it like God did. I mean, I don't. Sometimes people get mad with me because I'm preaching it. Hey, man, don't hate the messenger.
That's right.
But it doesn't matter if you and I agree with it or not. God's right and we're wrong. Yeah, but I just always, no. God is right and we're all wrong.
Amen.
I know, but I'm going to tell you something. My grandpa was as good a fellow as he's ever been on this earth. And he always said, grandpa's wrong and God's right. And if some of you is too cotton-picking stubborn to believe that, you're never going to get any more help.
Amen.
Never going to get any more help.
Amen.
Grandpa may have been a good fella. Grandpa may have knew a lot of Bible. Grandpa may have been a much better Christian than Brother Dennis or you or anybody in here. But if Grandpa was wrong, there was at least one error in his life he was wrong, you ought to side with God over Grandpa.
Amen.
Every time. Every time. One of the greatest compliments I ever got in the ministry. It wasn't about me preaching a good message, or I enjoy what you do, or you so kind, or you so mean, or you an old-time preacher, or you a crazy, or if that is a compliment, or would you sign my Bible? People's asked me to sign their Bible. I can't understand that, but they do. The greatest compliment to me that I have ever gotten in the ministry was when a fella said, "Dennis Knowles is nobody's boy." That's the greatest compliment I ever got in the ministry. You know what they were saying? There ain't no denomination, no church, no group of fundamentalists, no camp, no nobody that owns Dennis Knowles. Jesus Christ owns Dennis Knowles. And I'm going to preach what he tells me to preach if it bothers everybody around.
Amen.
Key verse in this passage tonight, verse number 17. If any man, notice what it says. Verse number 17. If any man, well, let's go to verse 16. He says, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." He said, "My doctrine is God gave it to me." Now he goes on and continues his thought. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He said, there's a way you can figure out if I'm right or wrong, boys. You need to act upon what you do know and do it, and then you know what to do. Act upon what you do understand, then you'll understand more. Do you know what he's saying there? The key to understanding the Bible ain't an intellectual thing. It's a heart thing. It's when I approach the Word of God with the right heart, and I'm willing to change or to believe whatever he tells me to. And then, see, we preached on this. We preached on this not long ago when I preached on understanding the Bible, how to understand the Bible, how to rightly understand it. And then I act upon that truth that God's given me. When I have that truth, I act upon the truth that God's given me. Do you know how you learn the Bible and know more? Whatever truth God gives you, you do it, and then he'll give you more. Why in the world would God give you more truth when you won't do nothing with the truth you already got? Remember my pastor, my old pastor, Brother Buddy King, he has some good little sayings. Brother Tony has heard several of them, and I know he'd say them over and over and over, and I'm probably guilty of that too, but if it's good, you know, you want to say it. Brother Buddy King used to say, he said, "It's not the stuff in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me." He said, "It's the stuff in the Bible that I do understand, yet I don't do." Amen. Amen. Everybody worried about, don't be worried about all this big doctrinal stuff you don't understand. Why don't you do what you do understand? I heard this evangelist one time, they were talking about the New King James Bible. He was preaching against it, thank God, because it's just as corrupt as the rest of that mess. He said, "Why in the world do we need a new King James? We ain't done what the old King James says yet." Amen. A lot of truth to that. You don't need to worry about some kind of new updated version. You ain't near done what the old one said yet.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's the problem. And if you don't get anything else out of this tonight, I want you to understand that if you want to know the Bible, you can't approach it like them, contentious, right, argumentative, proud.
Right.
You know, a lot of counseling sometimes that I do, marital counseling especially, they've already got their mind made up about something. What they want to do is come in there. And they'll come in there for counseling for me, but they don't, because if I'm in there 45 minutes, they're talking 40 and I get 5 minutes in. They're trying to convince me to side with them.
Right. Amen.
There ain't nothing more, make you more angry than like me and Darby and some other people may have, to sit in a Bible class that you're paying big money for and the professor's teaching it. And even though I went to a college where the professor didn't learn a lot of Bible there because of their views on the Bible, whatever. I still want to listen to what he said. And some knuckleheads in the class, he didn't come to Bible college to learn. He come to tell everybody else what they need to know. You know people like that? They'll get in your Bible classes. They'll get in your church. They'll get in your Sunday school classes. They'll do all that. They're not there to learn. They're there to straighten you out. You know what? You ain't going to learn no Bible. You ain't going to know no Bible. You ain't going to grow. You ain't going to get no better than you are right now. You can't approach Jesus like that. You can't approach the Bible like that. And he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. That's true. And Jesus Christ never sought his own glory. He came to honor the Father. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, that's what Jesus was doing. He was seeking the glory of God. God sent him. The same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. There was no unrighteousness at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's fixing to break it on down and further make these folks mad. But when you're already contentious and proud and carrying on and you can't tell somebody something, there ain't nothing you can do with it anyway. He said this, he said, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? He said, you're mad at me, and he's going to tell you why they're mad with a minute, because you think I've done something against the law. He said, and none of you here's ever kept the law. Sort of like that time when they had the lady caught in adultery and they said that was without sin, cast the first stone. Everybody jumping on everybody else. He's jumping on Jesus Christ. He said, none of you's kept the law. Listen, man, the law is contained as a unit. You read about that over in the book of James chapter 2. There's a couple of verses there. And if you're guilty of one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. The law, this is how the law is. All of God's law comes in as one big thing. And he sets it down right here for you. And you know how I usually take a test? We'll take a test in school and I can make a 70 or I can make an 80. If I was Miss Darby, I'd make a 95 or 96. Or you might be so good, you make 100. Not with God. You sit down and he passes out the test. And it's got several hundred questions on it. Have you ever done this? Did you do this? You ever done that? You ever do this? And you can go down through there and just and get every question right, but get one wrong. You know what you get? Zero. F. Fail. Go to hell. That's where you're going. Amen. You know why? Because the whole law is one big unit. You either get Jesus Christ's righteousness and you get 100.
Yeah.
You go to heaven. Or you take the test. And you say, well, I ain't never done this, and I ain't never done that, and I ain't never done this, I ain't never done that. It don't matter. It ain't the best 3 out of 4. This ain't the World Series.
Yeah.
It's if you offend in one way, you're a sinner, you've transgressed, you've broken the law. And there's no help for you but the grace of God. But these people, they're so self-righteous, and that's what comes with contention. It's pride and people being self-righteous. And He says, and yet none of you keep the law. He says, you don't keep the law. You don't do right. Why do you go about to kill me? He made a good point here. He said, y'all are jumping on me. And he said, you don't even keep the law. He said, why are you trying to kill me? Now, this is a response. This is when you're dealing with insane people, this is what you get. The people answering and said, thou hast the devil. They didn't answer his question. You know, you'll see that sometimes when a fella ain't got a good rebuttal. If you have an argument or you're talking about something, he ain't got a good rebuttal. He ain't got an answer for what you're saying to him, so he'll just go to insulting, you see. You know, I can't answer you. You're 10 times smarter than me, but I'll insult you.
Yeah.
The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? And then he is out there in verse number 25. Then says some of them of Jerusalem, it's not this he whom they seek to kill? Idiots. You've got a devil. Ain't nobody trying to kill you. After he gets through talking, they say, hey, that's the fella everybody's trying to kill. But listen, some of you over this Bible have sounded just that stupid. Now, haven't you? Be honest, haven't you? In your pride and arrogance, you just like them. Nobody can teach you anything because I got my mind made up.
Amen.
The contentious and the confused.
Right.
This ought to be a warning to us, all of us.
Amen.
When you get to where nobody can tell you anything, you're messed up. I don't care if you're 10 years old or 110 years old.
Yeah, right. Amen.
There's always more to learn.
Amen.
Always. Let us take this as a warning, these bunch of idiots here tonight. Let it be a warning to us. not to get that kind of prideful spirit. Nobody can tell us nothing. We think we've arrived. Now, you've arrived. You've arrived at the junkyard. Jesus answered and said unto them, I've done one work, and you all marvel. Of course, they're mad, but the work he's talking about is back when he did the healing of the impotent man. That's what they're talking about, and they're all upset about. Verse number 22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Now here's what Jesus is saying here in this verse. Do you know what day it was that the babies, the male babies were circumcised on? The eighth day. Well, sometimes when that baby was circumcised on the eighth day, it would fall on a Sabbath. So it falls on a Sabbath, it's time for that baby to be circumcised. But, you know, on the Sabbath, you're supposed to rest and not work. But the Jews made an allowance for the baby to be circumcised on the Sabbath because it was a command. It was two commands. It was a command that you don't do any work on the Sabbath, yet on the Sabbath, yet on the eighth day, no matter when it is, on the eighth day, that boy is to be circumcised. So he says, you make allowance for that. And you see how God's in that. And he said, here I am. What I have done is I healed a poor man. I healed a poor man on the Sabbath. And you think I've got a devil. And you're against me. Now, I want you to understand something about this. When you get mad like they did because a man is healed on the Sabbath, you're looking at the letter of the law. You know what you are? You're a gnat strainer. You're a nitpicker. You're a Pharisee. And that was what was wrong with this bunch. They acted like they were so spiritual. Law, law, law. We're going to come down. You don't do this. You don't do that. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. They didn't even keep the law, but they thought everybody else would have to keep it. They'd make up, the Pharisees especially, they'd make up their own things, own traditions, and put them in there like it was the Bible. We got a lot of modern day Pharisees do the same thing. And then here they are, they ought to be, you know how you ought to do? It'd be like somebody coming in this church. It'd be like somebody coming, suppose a woman came in this church. And she came in this church and she was lost. And somebody invited her to church. And she came in here and she was just terribly dressed. I mean, she had on a sleeveless shirt, a tank top, and it was real revealing. And she had on a pair of short shorts, and it was real revealing. And we could just tell this poor woman was not dressed. I mean, nobody should dress like that. And the preaching's done, and she's crying and under conviction. And comes up to the altar, and I lead her to the Lord, and she gets saved that day. And somebody's saying, did you see the way that woman was dressed? The woman wasn't saved. She come in here and got saved. Praise the Lord. I don't care. Look at how she was dressed. That's what's going on here. We don't care a man was made whole. Hey, Jesus Christ violated the Sabbath. Bah. Church is full of folks like that. I don't have no time for them. I'm not going to take any time for them. We're not going that route. Verse number 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And this is what happens when you're contentious and confused. You can't make righteous judgment. You're not right when you're like this. Ain't no way you can make righteous judgment. And he tells them something really important here. He says, don't judge according to the appearance, because God doesn't judge that way. A verse over there in 1 Samuel, I believe, where it says, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside, on the heart. A man looks on the, anyway, you know what that verse is. Yeah, that's close. A man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I thank God for that. I thank God that when I get up in the morning, I stand in front of the mirror, that God is not seeing what I see. Ain't that comforting? If God was saying what I say, he'd take a big heavily magic marker. X me out, man. I'm glad he can see the old heavy bishop's heart. It sure ain't what it needs to be, but thank God it ain't what it used to be. And it's getting a little bit more tender for the Lord every day.
Amen.
Every day. Then this outrageous way to end it. That then says some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And this is just, you know, we'll continue with the madness as we continue this study on Wednesday nights. But here's the thing. People are contentious and confused because of their heart. Listen, if you and I don't approach God and approach the Bible and approach teaching and approach truth with a humble heart, with a teachable spirit, with the right attitude, you know what? We're gonna be just like these folks we preached about tonight.
Right.
I deal with them all the time. And so if I was going to end this tonight and just say, you know, about this thing going on in the temple, what kind of practical thing would you say, Brother Dennis? I'd say look at your heart tonight. Ask yourself a few questions and then we'll leave tonight. Do I have a humble heart before the Lord? Do I have a teachable spirit? Am I willing to change my mind and my heart about something that I've held dear for years? If somebody shows me the truth and it goes against me and my family, am I willing to side with the truth over that? Am I willing to side with something even though I don't like it very much? You know, you don't always have to like what the Bible says, but you just have to believe it and understand it and go with it. Am I willing to come to God and say, Lord, if you'll teach me, I'll listen. Ask yourself all these questions tonight, because if you can't answer in the affirmative and a positive about all this, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be just like them. Just can't tell you nothing. Argumentative, confused, contentious, belligerent, out there in left field. Think you know everything and you don't know nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
Because when you get like that, the reason you get like that and stay like that is because you're deceived. Everybody knows you're messed up but you. That's the thing about a drunk. You ever notice that about a drunk? Think about that. Fellow that's a drunk, I'm talking about sure enough drunk. His wife knows he's a drunk. Children knows he's a drunk. Neighbors, they know he's a drunk. Community knows he's a drunk. If he still's able to go to work, people he works with knows he's a drunk. The only fella that ain't in on the secret that he's a drunk is the drunk. You know what? Quite possible I could be talking to somebody here tonight. You ain't even in on the secret. You don't even know that everybody knows how contentious you are. Everybody knows how contentious you are. And you can't see it because you've been so contentious for so long, it's blinded you. I'd crawl down this altar tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed.